All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hawks Huddle podcast. I'm Jacqueline, along here with Mark, and we have a very special guest joining us today. We got our New York Giant, a two-time Super Bowl champion and one of the scariest running backs to play against ever. We got Brandon Jacobs. Thank you so much for coming on, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. Of course.
Yeah, thank you so much. You can see I'm a Giants fan. Mark here is a Jags fan, but I'm a diehard Giants fan. So this is so cool to have you here and, of course, talk to you about your life and football and Giants, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure, Brandon. So, yeah, thank you again for joining us here. Like Jacqueline said off the top, you were a scary back. Do you ever miss football? You might not. I don't know if you miss the hits, but do you miss the game of football? I know you're coaching youth with the North Atlanta Giants, and you really take pride in that. But do you miss the game of football at all, playing it?
Here, just recently, I kind of had a little itch to go out and wonder, you know, what it's like to go out there and play at 38 years old. But to say miss it is strong, because I don't miss it. I never missed it. I never really been all the way into football like that. You know, I just took it it was something I had a talent in. So I took it and realized I can do something greater with it. So I don't miss it. I miss more of my teammates. I miss the locker room. I miss, I don't really miss the game. You know, I like being around my coaches and just fellowshipping with, with my brothers. And that's pretty much what I miss, about the game.
Of course. And going with, I just wanted to touch on North Atlanta Giants, because Brandon, I know you've talked about how important it is to teach the youth and how much you've taken pride in that. So how did that all kind of get started? And would you ever want to coach in the NFL?
Well, the NFL, that's a hard no. Absolute hard
Why?
No.
Why?
What about the hours? The hours is just too much, and I don't think assistant coaches in that matter get paid enough to work those kind of hours. Mm-hmm. Be away from their families as much as they're away from their families. I mean, it's coaches on the cots in the office, because they had to be there till 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and to turn around and be back at 7. It just really made no sense to go home. I mean, for $200,000-$300,000, I mean, to me, I don't think that's enough. Why the head coach is getting $8-9 million to do the same thing they're doing? I don't get that. I don't understand that motion. So, coaching in the NFL is a hard no. Mm-hmm. College maybe, because I like talking to people, like recruiting and stuff like that. I like college. But what I'm doing with the North Carolina Giants, I coach high school ball now as well at St. Francis High School in Alpharetta.
Yep.
The Giants, man, is a very important program to me, because I get to take these kids from young kids and kind of mold them into people and try to help them be better, better men, like better fathers and husbands and stuff like that, to that nature. So, I mean, I love working, with kids. I get kids with messed up attitudes. I get parents with messed up attitudes. Yeah. I love fixing all of that. I love fixing every bit of it, including the parents. So. It's a great thing, man. We got 5 teams now, and we just started our offseason workouts last week. So doing pretty good.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. So growing up, your aunt put you into football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any desire to play, or you were kind of just put into it? You didn't. So when did you ever fall in love with the game?
No, I never fell in love with the game, even throughout no time throughout my career. I didn't have a second guess on retiring. I didn't have, days I didn't have to go to practice. I was happy.
Really?
But I gave it my all when I was there. Right?
Regardless. How come?
Because it was the sport I felt I was kind of pushed into, because everyone else was doing it. Everyone else was doing it. My cousins was playing football, and I was the only one that really wasn't playing. So, my mom couldn't really afford the kind of like insurance stuff for me to pay, for me to play. So, and it was only, I think, $30 at the time. So, but my aunt took me and put me in, and everything else is history.
Did you really start trying hard when you can realize that you could make a career out of it?
Well, my first game plan, at a very young age, my first time touching the ball, I took it 80 yards for a touchdown. And that's when the strike of success started to come. And that's when I started to take it serious. Didn't necessarily like it, but I learned what to do to get better, you know, and that's how I just took it as – it had always been a business for me. Even at 19 years old, it was a business. And I said then I was going to go to the NFL. I was 10 years old. I'm going to the NFL. And then I still had times throughout those years I'll fall off. I'll play a year, sit out 2 years, you know, play 1 year, sit out 1 year. Like, I still was on and off throughout the whole thing. So I didn't have a steady on. Like, I didn't play my freshman year. I didn't play my sophomore year in high school. You know, I didn't play my eighth grade year. I played 9, 10, and then I played at 11 and 12, and then that was it. And I played in middle school, seventh grade, didn't play eighth grade, didn't play ninth grade, didn't play 10th grade. Yeah.
Wow.
So I only played my junior, senior season. Wow.
Yeah, moving on sort of to college. I mean, you said, Brandon, you missed kind of your teammates a little bit at the top there. Saying, you know, how you didn't love the game and how, you know, you worked so hard. Did you lean on some of the running backs that you worked with? Obviously, there was Ronnie Brown and Carnell Williams with Auburn. You get to the Giants. There's Tiki Barber. There's Ahmad Bradshaw you were with, Derek Ward. I mean, did those guys help you out a lot in perfecting your game, essentially?
Oh, yeah, man. Always being around guys like that, man, iron sharpens iron. You know, they make you pick your, you know, get it together. You know, it was great being around guys like that and going to practice and working and competing every day and, you know, making each other better, you know. So they definitely had a part to do with my growth as far as my success that came from football. So, I mean, I had guys around me, man. From the time I went to Auburn, Ronnie and Cadillac, two guys who got drafted top five. Then I transferred, go to Southern Illinois, you know, another guy and Arky Whitlock was there, you know, with me who I was older than, but he pushed me. He was good, you know, and then getting drafted to the Giants and having Tiki, you know, Tiki there. Like I always had to be on my job.
Right. Yeah, no. Going into the 2006 season, you studied Eddie George's film, right? Was he someone that you looked up to growing up?
Well, yeah, he was actually somebody I met. I was in junior college and I happened to go over to the Tennessee Titans training camp. I was talking to this girl, of course, that her sister worked with them. And she took me to the training camp before I started mine. I had a chance to meet him, sit down, talk with him at their facility and started to study his game because I knew I was a big runner and I knew I was quick. I had moves. Eddie George wasn't a big, you know, guy that just going back over and move the pile. He had agility with him. He had quick feet, you know, balance. He had, that's what I wanted. That's the type of running back I wanted to be. I didn't just want to be one dimensional because I was big, you know, and that's kind of what I turned into, seeing backside cuts, putting my foot in the ground, making people miss an open field, like being able to do that, not just straight line speed. If the hole isn't there, you're running your lineman back. I wasn't with that. So I studied him.
Wow. So in going into the draft, were you expected to get picked earlier or were you happy with where you were picked? Yeah, you were.
No, I was, I was expected to go in the top three rounds. And I thought I went to the combine. I ran a 4.5 at 267. Wow. I caught the ball well. I had a great combine. The only thing that kind of was bad in my combine was my 225 because we trained for it, but I just couldn't. My muscle stamina just wasn't there. I did 20 reps of 225. You know, I was stronger than most of everybody at the combine, right? For one or two reps, it's a difference. But when you don't have the muscle stamina to go rep after rep up to like 35, 40 times, that was the only negative for my combine, and I didn't know how much they looked at it, but I felt like even like the guys that got drafted ahead of me, I felt like I was better than most of them, you know? So me, you know, then the last pick in the third round with Denver Broncos had, I think they took Maurice Claret. That really put me over, the cliff right there. So, all due respect to him, I just felt like I was better than a lot of the backs that was in my draft. You know, I think I was a 10th back taken. throughout the draft, and I was picked in the fourth round. And I felt like I could have went in the top three rounds. And from what I gave throughout my career, I was definitely statistically better than all of those guys. So just the way it happened,
For sure. And you got two, sorry, Jack, and you got two Super Bowls to count for it, Brandon, as well. I want to get into those and your time with the Giants, but just to stay on this topic, is there a player in today's game that reminds you of yourself? Maybe Derrick Henry. I mean, you said you ran a four five at nearly 270. That's incredible, Brandon. Is there a player that kind of looks like you think, in today's game?
Like, other than size numbers, I would say Derrick Henry, but our styles were totally different. I think we have totally different styles. Like, people try to compare us all the time. Now, Derrick is a beast. Now, don't get me wrong. Anytime a man can rush for 1,600, 1,700 one year and come back and get 2,000 the next year, you can't not see the greatness in that, but I think we had different styles. I just think, he was a little bit different than what I am, and he guys great, but I just don't see, other than size wise, it having being comparable.
Yeah, I know, like when you were playing, you were one of like the biggest names as running backs. Like, I got into football kind of after your career, but of course, as a Giants fan, I go back and I watch the history, all the Super Bowls, and I realized something, that you were never picked for a Pro Bowl. Reading your stats, you would be confused because you had Pro Bowl stats. What did it mean to you to not ever be picked for a Pro Bowl?
Oh, it's a popularity contest. That's what the Pro Bowl is. Mm-hmm. It's a good achievement to get, but it's a popularity contest. I was a guy, I needed more votes from just Giants. I needed more fans to vote for me versus just Giants fans, And I was the type of player where I couldn't get votes because I said what I wanted to say, did what I wanted to do. And, I hated my opponents and I hated their fans. So I couldn't get a vote from a Philadelphia Eagle fan or a Dallas fan. I couldn't get votes from them. I never really kept my mouth shut. I would just say, hey, y'all don't like us. I don't like you either. Give them what I wanted, say what I wanted to say. If a player said something, I responded to him. It was just, I wasn't outside of Giants fan, I wasn't really a likable person. So when I say popularity contest, when I say a popularity contest, that's just what the Pro Bowl was.
Right. Agreed.
No, it sure was. Going into that Super Bowl, like I said, I wanted to ask you about the Super Bowl, the first one, Brandon, because that's one of the more notable ones. Going in, the Patriots are favored by 12, obviously 18-0 at that time. You were a big part of that whole season and the playoff run. How did it feel winning that first Super Bowl against the New England Patriots? And where? How did it feel seeing the Tyree catch happen?
Oh, man, I felt great. Like, even going into the game, going into the Super Bowl, I'm like, yeah, they already know what's up. We played them already. We're supposed to beat them then. I don't know how they give them a 12-point, 12 points over us when they only beat us by 4 points the first time, and we should have won that game. Yeah. But we had so many mishaps. We had so many mishaps and confusions on defense that, they happened to pull it through and capitalize on our mistakes. So we had some problems, we had some confusion in the secondary, which enabled Randy Moss to get behind us, which that's never a good thing.
No.
They were supposed to lose that game. So beating them in the Super Bowl, being 18-0, and nobody had beat them. Baltimore came close and we came close, but nobody had beat them once before. And then for us to come in the final season and to knock them off of their high horse, that game means the most right there. No question about it. That Super Bowl was a special one.
It was. Going into the Super Bowl, is there a different kind of mindset when you're prepping the Super Bowl as there is to like a regular season game? Or do you kind of just go in with the exact same mindset and mood and stuff?
Same exact mindset. You only think about this. You got nothing else to do after. No practice coming up the week after. You got nothing. Lay it all on the line. Other than that, we approached it the same way. Watch film the same way. We went through our run game the same way on Wednesdays. We went through our pass protection the same way on Wednesdays. Put in our third down on Thursdays, do our two-minute offense on Thursdays, come on Fridays, and we work all of that together. And that's the week, you know. And nothing really was different other than we weren't home. We were in Arizona, you know, in a hotel for a week, you know, preparing at the Arizona Cardinals facility. That was the only difference. But everything else, we approached it the same way. Had all the confidence in the world.
And that was the same thing for the Super Bowl 4 years later as well, right?
Same thing for the Super Bowl 4 years later, but we knew then we was going to smash them because we smashed tonight, early in that year. Now, when I say smash, I'm not talking about what the show, the score show, like the game, what we physically did to them, what we physically did to them, the type of stats we had called back because it's dumb penalties and still end up winning the game. I say we beat them pretty good.
Yeah.
It was 21-17, I think. It was 21-17. And the first time we beat them, I think it was similar. The score was similar, but I think we dominated them. We clearly dominated them the whole game.
Yeah. And with the defensive line that you had, obviously the running back group, you and Ahmad, and then of course, Eli Manning. And Brandon, I wanted to ask you about Eli, and I'm sure that you've been asked this question before, but there's always this great debate.
First ballot.
Good. I don't even have to.
He is. So, okay.
First ballot.
You say that. I say that as well. But why is there a discussion still of if he should even be in the Hall of Fame or not?
I don't know why they're even having a conversation. I think it's dialogue. It's just for dialogue, just to have something to talk about. Even when they talk about it on TV, they're filling space, so they talk about that.
Right.
You know. So Eli's a first ballot Hall of Famer. As soon as he's eligible, he'll be in. There's no question.
I hope so. So with Eli, you've talked a lot about in interviews about how you learned a lot about yourself while playing with Eli. What was he like be a teammate of Eli? Like, what was he always serious, or did he know how to have a good time as well?
He was barely ever serious.
Oh, really? What? He's goofy and stuff?
He's a goofy guy. He's a goofy guy, man. I love E, man. With his demeanor and the way he carried himself as a teammate, as a brother of his, I couldn't ask for a better relative. You know, he get you right when you messed up, you know, get you right. You must say, hey, B, listen, you got to watch now. Watch that mic. And when in the coverage and that safety tail come down, I'm going to change the mic. So your eyes got to go backside. Last time you left him and I got the ball off. You got to be aware of that. All right, cool. Yeah, I got you. I got your back. Versus a guy that's going to get in your face and yell at you. And I wouldn't be well. I wouldn't do well with a guy like that. Eli was perfect for me. That's how I got better. He allowed me to get better. He allowed me to make those mistakes. He reminded me of those mistakes. You know, he helped me fix those mistakes along with my coach and everybody else in the reporter organization. So that guy, his demeanor as a leader of a football team was perfect for me as my player and everyone else we had on the team too. Because we had a lot of hot-headed guys on the team, so we wouldn't be able to stand there and watch a colleague, you know, yell at me, you know, like I saw Phillip Rivers do a couple of times.
Brady as well, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't play with a guy like that. I'm already frustrated because I just messed up. Now you come and yell at me, I'll knock you out. You know? So Eli was perfect. He was perfect for me.
No, for sure. And with that whole idea there, Brandon, I just wanted to ask then, did Tom Coughlin, did he bring that seriousness then to the team?
Oh, Tom. TC's the greatest leader. If I want to take a team, a man in the war, I'm gonna ask that guy to be the leader. He was always serious. He did loosen up. You know, he definitely loosened up with us as the years you know went on. But we all respected him. You know, the older guys had problems with him. You know, the straight hands of the world had problems. You know, first off, with him. Tiki Barber had problems. The older guys, you know, it was always the older guys who was like, man, I've been in the league this long, you're not gonna come tell me you did it, you know. But they understood. He changed for them, and they changed for him, and they met in the middle, and we took off and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, certainly successful. Yeah.
Of course. So you have your own little Giants fan cave, right?
Absolutely.
So I feel like most former Giants are like the biggest Giants fans. Why is that? Because I feel like not all, you know, former players are like that with their teams. What makes the franchise so special to you and others?
Well, the franchise is, they love and care about their players, past and present. They're a great organization. You know, it's definitely a family, man. You go over there and you talk to people. You sit down and eat. Mr. Mayor comes, sit down at your table, talk with you. You know, we're talking about big people at the top of the at the top come down and you know, sit, talk with you, see how you're doing and stuff like that. Like, I can go there now and do the same thing. Sit, eat, Mr. Mayor, join me, Mr. Gettleman to join me, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. See them, they speak, they talk to you. It's just a family atmosphere there. And I went to the 49ers. It wasn't like that. It was nowhere near like that. It was not like that at all. I mean, I'm glad I had Mario Manningham there, because
you're right.
Yeah.
I really didn't. So it was just, you know, Giants is definitely different. The Giant organization is different than at least the 49ers. I'm saying that because that's the only other place I've been to.
With the Niners, did they just never treat you like family? Like, they always kind of saw you as a Giant?
I think that's what it is with Jim. I think Jim always saw me as dad. I don't know why I even went there. I don't know why they paid me to come there. They act, you know, I got me out of free agency. I just don't know why. You know what I mean? I wanted to know what it's like to go play somewhere else. And that's how it happened. I tell you guys the whole thing, you know, sitting there going through my contract renegotiation with Jerry East, and we couldn't really come to an agreement. I said, how about this? Let me go play somewhere else so I can see how it is. And then I'll come back and, you know, and play my last year with the Giants and then retire. That's exactly how it happened.
Do you regret that? Yeah.
Yes, I regret that.
Once a Giant, always a Giant.
So I regret that. I could have played those last 2 years with the Giants and retired without ever going to another team.
Gotcha. But you just wanted that experience. No, for sure, Brandon.
Yeah, I wanted that experience to know what it was like going to play somewhere else. And it could have been Cleveland. It could have been, you know, it could have been a city that's not an awesome city. Now, California was great. Like, Santa Clara was great. Like, the city of San Francisco, it was a beautiful place to be. But even going to another city, you know, let's say Cleveland or Cincinnati, I would have even enjoyed, you know, seeing what something like that, you know, was like. But my one team just happened to be all over on the West Coast. I went back to the Giants and played that 2013 season, and I retired.
You know, with the, like, we've been saying how Giants is a family, and I think the fans feel that too. So your friend, license plate guy, we had him on back in December, I think it was, and he told us about meeting you for the first time. Do you remember what your first encounter was like?
Yeah. I remember the first time I talked to him.
What was your side? Yeah. Did you just think this guy was like crazy?
Well, games prior to the game, I met him. It was just like, man, this guy's always coming out of games. He's always sitting directly behind the bench when we're playing on the road. Like, what the hell is this guy like?
Yeah.
What type of money he's bringing in to be able to afford these type of seats all the time? So, we was in Dallas, I think it was, and then I just finished talking to my family. I was getting ready to go up to the room. I see him walk through. I said, "Man, hold on, stop right here." And I said, "You know, I had my choice words, you know." And I was like, "Who are you, man? Like, who the fuck are you? Like, are you coming through here like that? You always see you like, who are you?" And then we was cool ever since.
Wow. So because he told us that now you guys are good friends, and he became family, I guess, with the entire team, which is just why I love, you know, I love the Giants. My dad grew up as a Giants fan. We're Canadian fans. We live in Toronto, just a Giants fan. So I all that love that, you know, no offense, Mark, with your Jags, but the Giants, I love you guys, not just for, you know, Super Bowls winning, but it's because of you guys are a family, which I absolutely love. So that's
yeah, I mean, the New York Football Giants is a special organization, leadership, special people. I couldn't be put in a better situation to play for such a great organization. And I really hope things happen there in the next few years to turn it around and make it, you know, I think we're going to be good next year because we only got blew out one game last year, and we was in all the rest of our games.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We were in all the rest of our games. We didn't get blew. We got blown out, I think, 45-7 by San Francisco. Well, other than that, everything went down to the wire, regardless of who we played against. Right. So I think with that being said, I think we're going to have a good season this year.
Yeah, I just want to stay on that quick question about Joe, the license plate guy here. I know with COVID, were you guys able to run the charity softball tournament that you guys usually do? Or
no, and it looks like we're not going to have a chance to do it again this year, man. It kind of killed it. Like COVID killed it, man. Like killed it. Like it killed everything. You know, I was looking forward to doing it. We were trying to do a Jets-Giants. So we were trying to do a Jets-Giants game.
Wow.
And split the proceeds, and they pick a charity, we pick a charity, and have, you know, get it like that. But we never had a chance to do it. We don't have you know, just with COVID, we just didn't ever have opportunity to even get going on it.
Yes, so we're just, yeah, that is unfortunate. Well, we're going to finish off here, Brandon. I had one final question for you, and it just goes to the current running back of the Giants, Saquon Barkley. What do you think about Saquon's game, and is he one of the top backs? I know with the injuries, it's tough, but is he one of the top backs in the league in terms of what you see?
Yeah, he's definitely the top back in the league for his ability-wise. Oh, yeah. He's a generational talent, and I'm not being biased. I'm just telling you what I see. The guy's a generational talent. You know, he has a monster vertical. He has a monster 40 time. His bench press reps was great. Balance is good. Super, you know, his 40 time. He's explosive. He has everything, you know, that a lot of those guys don't have. He got everything, you know. And it just sucks because he's got this bad luck with his injury bug. I'm looking forward to see him come out, with this year, because I think this would be a make or break year for him with the Giants, given the fact that he's going to be up to be paid and being paying off the type of coin he's worth. You know, I just hope he can stay healthy so he can retrieve that coin that he deserves.
I hope so, because he's one of my favorite players. I hope he stays healthy and stays with us, and hopefully the Giants do get better. But to end it here, I just want to ask you one more thing. What advice would you give these guys going into the NFL draft next month, like about life, football, and even after playing?
Save your money. Find people to hang with. Find people to hang with where a dollar is important. Find a person to be your friend where $250, they look at you like, man, that's a lot of money. Hang with those people, because your money will go a long way. Don't hang with the people that's going to go to the nightclub and drop 15, 20, 20, you know, 20,000, because that's going to need you to do that. Go hang with a person that sit at a bar and asks for a drink, and they tell them that one drink is $12, and they look at them like, what, $12 for one drink? That's the people you need to hang with. Find those people.
Saving money key. Awesome. Yes. Wow. Once again, Brandon, we could keep you on here for hours. We'd love to have you on again sometime soon. We want to thank you so much for coming on. Where can we find you on social media? Instagram is nyg.td.record27, right? And then Twitter is Brandon Jacobs 27.
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.